Boker Tov, good morning, Shavua Tov. Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet, daf 74. We left off on 73b, Ayin Gimel Amud Bet, towards the bottom of the page. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlema V'Adachonim V'Chalam. מנחם דוד הרי בן יפקה, אליאנה שרה בת שושנה, שם בן נעמי, ולהבדיל לנשמע דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן יצחק, אליהו דינה בת אפרים, שמעון בן מישאל, בנימין בן כבדן, בועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם, משה בן רפאל, שרה בת יוסף, וגם
ניסים בן משה,
וגם
אהרון בן אברהם,
ולהבדיל הריון דברה בת מרים. Okay, we're towards the bottom of the page on Ayin Gimel Amud Bet 73b, the relatively shorter daf today. We left off about 10 lines from the bottom in the middle of the page. Etive. The Gemara says we have a contradiction. Hareni bo'alech al menat she'irtze abba. I am coming to sleep with you on condition that your father would want this, that your father would want our marriage. That is my condition that we are getting married. Af al pi she'lo ratza ha'av, even though the father did not want the marriage, mekudeshet, she's still considered mekudeshet, she's still considered engaged, betrothed. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Ratza Ha'av Mekudeshet, Lo Ratza Ha'av Eina Mekudeshet. Only if the father wants, in that conditioning, is she considered Mekudeshet. If the father did not want that marriage to happen, then she would not be Mekudeshet. So the Gemara brings its contradiction now. Veha Hacha, over here, Ta'ut Isha Achat Dameh, Dechi Hacha, Dechi Ta'ut Isha Achat Dameh. It's similar to the case of, that we brought yesterday, the mistake of one woman. And we said that in the case of one woman, we know according to all grounds, when it is a stipulation, you do not need any get. You can walk out. But over here, what are we saying? Upligi, we're saying there's a machloket over here. Do you need, are they considered mekudeshet or they're not considered mekudeshet? The Gemara brings a machloket. This contradicts what we said yesterday. We said that when it's a ta'ut of one woman, everyone agrees that since she makes neders and the husband said, I don't want to marry someone with nederanin, everyone agrees you don't even need a divorce. So how come over here you're saying zemachloket? So the Gemara says, Hatam behakam iflegid. Over there, this is what they're arguing on. Mor savar al menat she'irtze ha'av. The first opinion says, on condition that the father wants it, al menat she'ishtok ha'av, which really means on condition that the father stays silent. V'hashatikle, and he did stay silent. So that's why he says that they are considered mekudeshet. Whereas Umor Savar, Rabbi Shimon says, al menat she'yomara abba hen, only on condition that the father says yes, he allows the marriage to happen, he wants the marriage to happen. Veha lo amar abba hen, in that case, the father did not say yes. So they're not arguing necessarily on that case, the similar case of ta'ut isha achat. Rather, they're arguing on this case of what does it mean al menat she'irtze ha'av? What does it mean on condition that the father wants? Does it mean if the father stays silent, and if he stays silent, the marriage counts? Or does it mean the father has to proactively, say, yes, I want the marriage to happen, and only then would the marriage count? That's the machloket over here, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Etivei, we have another contradiction. Modim chachamim, the Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer, biktana she'isia avia. If a father marries off a child, v'nit garsha, and then she gets divorced. V'hi yetoma v'chaye ha'av. Then she becomes an orphan in the life of her father. Her father passes away. V'chazira, and that first husband remarries her. And then that first husband dies. What's the deen? She'choletzet v'lo mitabem. And she does chalitza with the brother and not yibum. Why? Mipnei she'gerushea gerushin gemurin. Her divorce was a complete divorce. Ve'en chazarata chazara gemura, but her return, her remarriage, was not a complete remarriage, and therefore, since she was really considered divorced to the man, she was allowed to remarry him because she didn't marry anyone else. But now that she becomes a divorcee of this person, you're not allowed to marry the brother of your divorced wife, right? The person is not allowed to marry his brother's divorced wife, right? We know that you're not allowed to. The Torah says so. Therefore, she's not allowed to marry the brother-in-law be yibum after the husband dies. So the Gemara says, "Bamed v'rim amurim." We're in the last three lines on 73b. Ayin Gimel Amud Bet. When is that the case? Shegirsha kishehi ketana, when she got divorced when she was a child, vechazira kishehi ketana, and remarried when she was a child. Aval girsha kishehi ketana, but if she got divorced when she was a child, vechazira kishehi gedola, and they got remarried when she was all an adult, or maybe shechazira kishehi ketana, she got remarried when she was a child, vigadla etzlo, and she became an adult while married to that first husband, umet, and then the husband died after she was an adult. The first opinion says you can either, in that case, you can either do chalitza or yibum. There you have the jurisdiction to choose, right? Rashi says, the last Rashi, shechazarata chazara gemura liot eshet ach. The returning, the remarriage is a complete remarriage. She's an adult completely for her to be considered the wife of this person. And now, she's allowed to do yibum if she wants with the brother-in-law. Philippine the Amun, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amrun, the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Choletzet velo mityabemet. She can only do chalitza, not yibum. Right? Even though, this is how Rashi explains it, Rashi says, Af kshehizira, kshehi gedola, even when he remarries her as an adult, palig, he disagrees. Ve'af megaresh gedola, even if he divorces an adult, ve'chzira, and he returns her at that stage, ve'ta'ameya, mishum de gazur ba, mishum yetoma b'cha'av. He made, Rabbi Eliezer makes a decree on this case, because of the case of someone who becomes an orphan in the lifetime of the father. That when she got married off by the father, right, the gerushin was a full gerushin. The remarriage was not a full remarriage, because she was a ketana. So therefore, and if the husband then died, she would not be allowed to marry in that case by yibum. So therefore, he's making a gezera on this case, atu that case, lest we go and permit that case. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning, that you can only do chalitza, not yibum. But the Gemara now brings this contradiction. Veha hacha, over here also, in this case, in the case of returning whenever she is a young girl, and she became an adult while married to that first husband. The keta'ut isha achad dame, it's similar to the mistake of one woman. Right? We said ta'ut kiddushay ketana, it's a mistake of the kiddushin of a young girl. Similar to that other case. Upligi, and still we have a machloket over here. But I thought we said that anytime it's a ta'ut isha achat, ta'ut of one woman, like the case we brought earlier, he married her thinking that she was making conditioning that you have no nedarim, and she ended up having nedarim. So they're not considered married. Kiddushin with ta'ut, same thing over here. So, and still we have a contradiction over here if she's allowed to do yibum or chalitza or not. Is she considered married to the person or not? So why is there machloket? If we're saying there's never a machloket in one case, ta'ut isha achat, how come over here there's a machloket? So the Gemara says, hatam nami b'hakam iflegi. Over there also, this is what they're arguing on. Mor savar, the Tanakama holds, adam yodea she'en kiddushe ketana klum. A person knows that kiddushin with a young girl, with a young child, is nothing. V'gamar uba'al l'shem kiddushin. And when he sleeps with her, he did it for kiddushin. That's why he's considered married to her. That would be the explanation. And that's why you'd be allowed to choose to do chalitza or yibum. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, Umor savar, en adam yodea she'en kiddushin, kiddushay ketana klum. A person does not know that the kiddushin with a child does not count. And he thinks it does count. And v'ki kaba'al, when he sleeps with a woman, adata de kiddushin arishonim kaba'al. He sleeps with her with the thought process that I'm already married to her. I'm not sleeping with her for kiddushin. We're already married, and so therefore, it's not really considered marriage. Itmar Nami was also taught, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Amar B'Yochanan, HaMikadesh Al Tnai. If someone does kiddushin with a condition, uba'al, and he sleeps with a woman, divrei hakol einat tzircha imenu get. Everyone agrees she does not need, if she ends up having, let's say, nedarim on her, she does not need a get, he can just walk out, because it was a kiddushin meta'ut. So the Gemara says, Eitiveh, we have a contradiction. Rav Acha Bereda Rav Ika, Bar Achte, his nephew, his wife, his sister's son, came and said, chalitza mu'etet keshira. A minimal chalitza is kosher. What's a minimal chalitza? So, ezo hi chalitza mu'etet. What is this chalitza mu'etet? Amar Rish Lakish, kol sho'omer lo chalotzla ubekach atakonsa. If they come and tell him, do this process of chalitza with her, and with that process, you're marrying her. They like tricking him into it. They want him to do chalitza, and he thinks, I'm marrying her. So the Gemara says, that's kosher? They tell him, the Beit Din, let's say, tells the man, do this chalitza process with the woman, and by this, you're going to marry her. But he's not actually marrying her. He's doing chalitza, he's separating the bond. Right? And the Gemara says that that's still kosher. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, Ani shoneb, I teach, bein shenitgaven hu, v'lo nitgavna hi. Whether he has intention, but not her, or ben shen nitkavna hi velo nitkaven hu, or she has intention but not him, chalitza pesula, the chalitza is not good ad she itkavnu shnehem, until both of them have the proper intention. So, and you're coming and saying, Va'at amart chalitzata keshera. You're coming and saying, in this case of they're deceiving the guy, the chalitza is kosher, you have to have both people with the proper intention.
But we had this trick in Yevamot.
Yeah. We're coming back to it. So the Gemara is bringing its point from this whole story. So the Gemara says, Elar amar bi Yochanan, what it meant to say is, Kol she'omer lo chalotzla, anytime they tell him, you do chalitza to her, al menat she'titen lecha 200 zuz, on condition that she gives you 200 zuz. And that's kosher. So the Gemara says, what do we see from that? Even if she doesn't give him. So the Gemara says, Alma, what do we see from that? Kevan de avad ma'aseh, since he did an action, achule achle letanae. It comes back and it's mevatel his tnai. It's mevatel the conditioning that was made. Right? Once you did the chalitza, it's mevatel the conditioning of give me the 200 zuz. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, also over here in our case, Kivan de Baal, why don't you say that once he sleeps with the woman, he sleeps with her, Achule Achle le Tanae, it should be Mevatel the Tanai, and therefore even though he made a conditioning on his Kiddushin that you shouldn't have any Nidarim, once he slept with her, it's Mevatel the Tanai. So the Gemara says, Amar le Barberav, this Torah scholar came and said, Shapir ka Amart, is what you're saying correct? Michti, let's see. Kol tnai meheicha gamrinan. Where do we learn all of the rules of tnai, of conditions? Mitnai bnei Gad bnei Reuven. We know that it's from the tnai of the children of Gad and children of Reuven. What's the story over there? Moshe Rabbeinu comes in towards the end of the Torah, and he says that. I think it's in Bamidbar. He comes and tells bnei Gad bnei Reuven, you'll be able to receive the east bank of the Yarden. As long as you come and fight in the war, you come and support Am Yisrael in fighting in the war, you conquer. Right? That's your conditioning. He puts that as a condition. And what happens after also? Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one to be able to gift that to them. He appoints Yehoshua as his shaliach. You're going to be giving this to them. You're going to be the one to give this to them. Right? So Rashi says, Okay. So the Gemara says, so what are we learning from that case? It has to be a condition that is able to be done by a shaliach, by a messenger, just like that case of Negad and Neder Oven, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yehoshua, you're going to be the one to give it to them. Have tana'e. Only that case, have tana'e tana'a, your condition would be a real condition. But if you make a condition that's not able to be kept by a messenger, kihatam, like that case, lohave tana'a, it would not be considered a condition. So what are you saying? He's saying over here, this case of chalitza that you're trying to bring, it's different. Why? Over here, you can't make a condition on a case of chalitza. Your condition doesn't count because chalitza can only be done by you. You can't go and tell someone, go do chalitza on my behalf. No, you have to do chalitza yourself. So since you can't appoint a shaliach, there's no conditions. You can't make conditions on it, and therefore even if you make a condition, since you did chalitza, it counts regardless if the condition was fulfilled or not. That's different. It's not approving your point. You're trying to say that, oh, your action came and it was mevatel the tanai. No. It's because by something that does not have a shaliach, cannot be done by a shaliach, cannot have a tanai. That's why. So the Gemara asks a question. If that's the case,
whatever it is, I make up.
If you take a stipulation and say I'm only going to marry this person on the stipulation that she doesn't have any neders or she doesn't have X, Y, and Z, right? So the conditioning that you make on something only works if it's something that can be fulfilled ayedei shaliach. It can be done by a messenger. That's only when you're able to put a conditioning. Otherwise, your conditioning doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want, but it doesn't.
Yesterday, that the guys on the, if you don't eat wine and thing, and then she finds out she doesn't have that was the condition. She can let her go.
So, what's your question exactly?
The condition, they put a condition, no neder from you.
Okay.
Then finds out she has nedarim.
No, but over there the action that's being done is kiddushin, saying I will marry you on condition that you don't have a neder not to eat meat.
Okay.
He can tell somebody else, I'm making you my shaliach, go do kiddushin for me, here's my object. He can appoint a shaliach for that, therefore the tnai is count, the condition counts. In the case of chalitza, you cannot appoint a shaliach. So that's why the Tanai doesn't count, and that's why. It's not because of you made a ma'aseh that's mevatel your Tanai. No. So the Gemara now asks a question. V'ha bi'ah, relations, de'lo efshar le'kiyumei adei ha-shaleach. You cannot have relations by a messenger. Or your messenger cannot have relations for you. Ki'hatam, just like the conditioning in that case. V'ka have tana'a, but still we're saying that that case is conditioning. Right? But what's the case of bi'ah? So the Gemara, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, we said, Habbo'el Hashem Kiddushin, someone who sleeps with the woman for Kiddushin. We said in the case that if he made conditions, but he slept with her for Kiddushin, still everything applies, his conditions apply. And if she has Nedarim, he gets out of the marriage without a divorce. But you can't do Bi'ah by someone else, by Shaliach. So how can your conditions count? So the Gemara says, Hatam Mishum De'itkush Havayot La'adadeh. No, over there it's because we learn out all of the ways, all of the Havayot, all of the ways of Kiddushin, Kesef, Shtar, and Bi'ah are all connected by Hekesh, by a connection in Masachet, through the Torah, but I think it's learned out in Masachet Kiddushin. They learn out a Hekesh for all of these three ways of Kiddushin. So therefore, just like the other ways, they're all included, so too, and therefore, and your Tanais would count, so too, if someone through Bi'ah, since that's a source of Kiddushin, a person's conditions would count because it's a Hekesh. So this is an exception to the rule. Bi'ah is an exception to the rule. So the Gemara then comes and says, Amar Rav Ula Bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Elazar, HaMekadesh B'malve. If somebody makes Kiddushin from a loan, meaning he says to this woman, you owe me money, I'll let go on the loan that I gave you, and that will be our Kiddushin. Does that count?
Yes.
So the Gemara says, U'ba'al, and he slept with her. Or, Ve'al Tnai, if he made a conditioning, U'ba'al, and then he slept with her. Pachod mishaveh pruta. If he's giving her kiddushin with less than pruta worth, ubaal and he slept with her, divrei hakol tzricha imenu get. Everyone agrees you need to receive a get. That's considered marriage, right? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes and says, Amar Rav Yosef Baraba, Amar Rav Menachem, Amar Rav Ami. Hamekadesh bepachod mishaveh pruta. If someone does kiddushin with less than pruta, ubaal and he sleeps with her, tzricha imenu get. In that case, you need a get. So the Gemara comes and says, hold on a sec. Only in that case of the lesson Shaveh Pruta, no one's going to make a mistake. Everyone knows that that's not worth a Pruta. Right? Rashi says, last Rashi, Kesavur Yodati She'en Alei Nedarim. He thinks that she knows She'en Alei Nedarim, that she does not have any neders on her. Lekach Hi Niset. She marries him, and when he sleeps with her, he is sleeping with her on the first concept of Kiddushin, Kiddushin, and not for the sake of Kiddushin. So in that case, that's when they're considered married, and that's when you need a divorce. But Malveh, love hakol baki'in behalachot Kiddushin. Rashi says, by case of Malveh, not everybody is affluent in the laws of Kiddushin. What's the case of Malveh? He's coming and saying, hey, this money that I gave you, it's in your hands now. That'll be our Kiddushin. That's not Kiddushin. Why? Because I have to give you something to perform Kiddushin. I can't say that what you have in your hand that I already gave you is Kiddushin. So he's disagreeing and saying, no, only the case of Pachod Mishaveh Pruta, in that case, is that considered that you have to get a get, that there is Kiddushin. You would have to get a get to get out of it. The other two cases, though, are not.
But it's not hers.
Exactly. No, it is hers. He gave it to her. It's a loan.
A loan is not yours.
It's yours until you pay it back.
So,
so that's what the Gemara is asking. They're saying the second opinion is sounding like only in the case of Pachol Mishaveh Pruta do you need a get. The other cases you don't. But in the other cases, a person would make a mistake. And so therefore it would be Ta'ut
Bekidushin. What's the other Tanai? Is it loan or a Tanai? What Tanai?
That she doesn't have Nedarim per se. She doesn't have any neders on her. If he says, I'm making it tonight, I'm only marrying you, that you don't have neders, he sleeps with her, and then he finds she has neders, they're not considered married, according to the second opinion.
So
the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Mishmei De'ula, HaMekadesh Al Tanai. If someone does Kiddushin with a condition, Uba'al, and he sleeps with her, Tzricha Imenu Get. You actually do need a get. Zaya Ma'aseh, this is the incident that happened, Velo Haya Kuach B'Chachamim Lohotzi'a B'Lo Get. And the Chachamim could not divorce her without a get. They couldn't get her out of the marriage without a get. This was the incident that he made a kiddushin with a tanai. He slept with her, and then they realized that, hey, you're married. You have to give a get. Let's say the husband doesn't want to. He couldn't get her out. He couldn't get her out of the marriage. The Gemara says, La puke mehaitana, except for the following tana, who could get her out. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. He says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk says, V'hi lo nitpesa. If she was not forced, meaning she slept with a man willingly, asura, then she becomes forbidden to her husband. Ha nitpesa. But if she was forced, she was raped, muter, she would be permitted to her husband. V'yesh lacha acheret, and there's another woman, she'afal pi she'lo nitpesa, even though she wasn't forced, she did it willingly, muter, she would still be permitted. Who is that? V'ezozo, that's the woman whose kiddushin was done b'ta'ut. She was done kiddushin with somebody, and it was all a ta'ut. He thought she didn't have any neders, and she did. It was always ta'ut, and therefore they're not married. Sha'afilu bina murkalva ketefa. Even if she has a child sitting on her shoulders, she has a child. Still, mima'enet v'holechet la. She can refuse and walk out of the marriage. Refusal here is not necessarily referring. It's not referring to mi'un. It just uses that word. It's not referring to mi'un. It's just referring to walking out of the marriage. It just uses that word. Derech agav. Yeah, they're not married. It's kiddushin v'ta'ut. So you can walk. She can walk out of the marriage.
You talk about the case that she
kiddushin
A, and then she sleeps with the B.
Right.
Right. And then because the first marriage was not properly done, she can just walk out
of the first marriage. Exactly.
Even though she had a child.
Exactly. Right. Tanu Rabbanan. Ustana Baraita. Halakha etzel chacham vehitira. If let's say, after kiddushin, the man made this tnai, and she had neder. So she went to a chacham to annul her neder. Mekudeshet. The Gemara says she is mekudeshet now. Etzel rofe veripa. She went to a doctor and try to heal Riripauta, to heal herself, ina mekudeshet. That does not make her mekudeshet, right? The husband took a tanai saying, I'm only marrying you if you're healthy, you're completely healthy with no blemishes, and you find blemishes. Even if she goes afterwards to try to remove those blemishes and heal herself, that doesn't count. So the Gemara says, ma bin chacham lerofe. What's the difference between a chacham and a doctor? I mean, first of all, there's a lot of differences, but the Gemara is asking, in the sense, what's the difference between a chacham and a rofeh with regards to why by a chacham we say she's mekudeshet, but by a rofeh she's not mekudeshet.
So,
chacham oker et haneder, a chacham uproots the neder meikaro from the beginning. But a doctor, verofeh eno merapeh ele mikanu da'aba. A doctor, when they heal a person, they only heal them from now on. They don't heal them from the beginning. So therefore, the neder that happened from the beginning, it still applies. And not only that, but in a more deeper sense, the sickness can always come back. The disease can always come back when a person gets sick, right? Even if the doctor heals them, it was in them once, it can always, God forbid, come back. By a neder, once a person does hataran nedarim, the neder is gone, there's no coming back. It was okeroto miikaro. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, but we have a braita. Etzel chacham v'hitira, if she goes to a chacham to uproot that neder, or etzel rofe v'ripauta, or to go to a doctor to get healed from her blemishes, eina mekudeshet. Both cases, she's not considered mekudeshet. This contradicts what we just said. We just said that, oh, no, only in the case of the neder, in the chacham case, she is mekudeshet. In the case of a rofe, she's not mekudeshet. So Gemara said, Amar Rava, la kasha. Here is not difficult. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Elazar. It's a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. What's this machloket? So the Gemara explains, ha Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir. This opinion that said they're mekudeshet, they are married, they are betrothed. The amar, that's the opinion. Adam rotze shetit baze ishto bebeitin. The man is okay that his wife gets embarrassed, gets disgraced in the beitin. Meaning, he is okay that his wife has to go to the beitin in front of the tamin chacham and ask to annul his vow in order for her to be married, engaged, betrothed to this man. So that's very disgraceful. The husband's okay with that in order for them to be married. That's what Rabbi Meir's outlook. Whereas Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that no, the Amar en Adam rotzeh shetit bazeh ishto bebeitin. A man is not okay that his wife becomes disgraced in the beitin, and so therefore he's not okay that his wife goes to the beitin and admits her neder and tries to annul that neder. So that's why he would say that no, so they are not considered mekudeshet, even in the case of the neder. That would be the machloket. Now this machloket is actually a Mishnah in Masachet Gittin. Right over there. Now, this next part of the daf is bringing that Mishnah. It's going to go all the way up onto the next Amud of the Ayin Amud Aleph. So I think we're going to stop there for today. But it's going to bring where it's referencing to this machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So just keep that machloket in mind for tomorrow, Bezat Hashem. We're going to give a quick 1 minute recap. So we started on the Amud Bet. We started talking about the case of in the case of if somebody makes a sleeps with the woman almenat, she says on condition that the father is okay with it. So we had a machloket what that means exactly. Does the father stay silent? He's okay with it, or does he have to actually say that yes, I'm okay with it? Right. That was part number one, and then we explained an important concept with regards to if he divorces her, remarries her. If the bringing back the whole machloket by the case of Yibum, if she's allowed to marry the brother-in-law after the husband dies or not, in that specific case, it was a machloket. Then on the Amud Aleph, we flipped to the Amud Aleph, we saw a machloket. If a husband would know that Ein Kiddushei Ketana Klum, that the Kiddushin of a young girl is not considered anything, or they wouldn't think that, or that a man would not necessarily know that Kiddushin of a Ketana is nothing, we would have a machloket about that as well. Then, towards the bottom of the page, as we moved on, we went on to the concept of if somebody makes a kiddushin and his kiddushin was on a tenai, was made on a condition, and then he slept with the woman, so we said that he needs to give a get, and we said that this was the incident that happened in the Beit Din, and they couldn't uproot, they couldn't do it without a get, except for this specific tana that he says that no, there's a way it could be done. How? If there's a kiddushin ta'ut, there's something called kiddushin b'ta'ut. A man does kiddushin on a specific condition with specific stipulation, and that stipulation is not fulfilled, so that marriage is not even considered married. She can walk out, he can walk out at any moment. Also, if let's say there's non-kosher edim at the wedding. If the wedding, let's say for example, they never had kosher edim, even if they have many children, they're not considered married. He can walk out, she can walk out at any moment. That was part number three. And then we got to the Amud Bet. It was really going on the aspect of if a person did kiddushin with stipulation and there was a neder or the woman had blemishes, can she go and uproot it? We brought a machloket. Rabbi Meir said, by the case of neder, you can uproot it. Everyone agrees by the case of blemishes, you cannot uproot it. But Rabbi Elazar said that no, even by the case of neder, you're not able to uproot it because ein adam rotzeh shetitvaseh ishto be'beitin, a man does not want his wife to become disgraced in the Beit Din. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.